It says here in Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Let me say this again. There is no office of evangelists. You can look all through Scripture. There's no office of an evangelist. There are two offices in the local church, the bishop and the deacons. That's it. Those are the only two offices. That's it. There is no office of evangelists. Evangelist is a gift, just like pastoring and teaching is a gift that God gives. Amen. He gives those gifts. He says this, and he gave some, and he lists them, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. The purpose is to perfect them. The purpose of the gifts in the body, given to the body, is what? To perfect the saints. Amen. That's God's purpose in the body. That's why he gave those gifts. For what reason? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That is a perfect, well-rounded, spiritual, have need of nothing man. Amen. One that is on fire for God, understands the truth, lives there, has that perfection in him. Under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What's the measure? Christ is the measure. Amen? We measure everything according to Christ. We don't compare ourselves among ourselves. That's not wise, the Bible says. Christ is the measuring stick. He is the one to measure by. That's the perfection. There's a reason for this, though, and I'm going to tell you one of the major problems we have. The reason why people don't know their Bible, well, one is they don't study themselves, but two, when they come to the assembly, they're not being fed. I've heard a lot of pastors whine and cry about this. Say, well, they left the church because they said they weren't being fed. Well, when you gave them 785 gospel messages on Sunday for the last 13 years of their life, yeah, I guess they probably haven't been fed. They're probably a little sick and tired of hearing the same thing over and over again that they've never grown by. You don't get past the gospel. Have you ever read Hebrews chapter 6? Let us move on unto perfection. There is a time to move on. I am not commanded by Scripture to try to reach the lost with the gospel in this service or on Sunday. You don't see that anywhere. Where do you see evangelism taking place in the Bible? You see it done on the streets like we want to do on Sunday. That's where you see it take place at. That's why we're going. Brother Russ wants to get some signs together. He wants to do some Scripture signs, and we're going to print up a bunch of tracts, and we're going to go. We have plenty of time. There's plenty of people going to be out around here. We need to go while we can and reach people with the gospel. And not because we're going to get a lot of results or build a big church, because God's commanded us to reach the lost. That's the command of God. But it's not to be in here. And what's taken place is that it has been in the church. And now you have people that are weak in the faith. They hear the same message over. And that's why when you give them strong meat or strong doctrine, they look at you funny. Amen. They look at you like you're crazy. I mean, people look at me like I'm crazy all the time. They do. They just do. When you bring them truth, they look at, what do you mean? Well, it's Bible. It's right there in the Bible. It talks about moving on to perfection. Well, how does that take place? It takes place by letting God's people exercise their gifts in the body. Why do you think Brother Finney was preaching and giving that lesson he gave on Sunday? Because he needs to exercise the gift that God has given him. Amen? Why do you think we didn't call some evangelist or some other preacher from the outside to preach when I was gone? Because there's men here that God has gifted to do that, and they need to be able to exercise that gift in the body. They need to exercise that. Why? Because that's what God has called them to do. You don't have to be called to be a bishop or an elder in order to exercise the gifts of God. Amen? They're gifts that he's given to the body, and we need to understand that. We have so lost sight of this truth. We've just lost it where people just don't understand their responsibility. And that's the reason number 14 happens to a lot of people in verse number 14. In verse number 13, we see that it's the stature of fullness. That you and I, are to reach that stature. And the only way we do that is if the gifts in the body are exercised as well. You know, people I've said, Brother Russ has said this, and Brother Finney has said this, and some others said, you know, we have grown so much since we've come here. We have learned so much. That's God's work, not mine. I'm just simply saying that they've heard, I've never heard those things preached before. I've never heard that before. Well, neither have I. And other men, and Brother Russ and his 4-week-long lessons that he did on marriage and betrothal and that. Some of you have never heard those things before. I've got people post those on the internet, and they never heard those things before. But when you allow a man that God has called to exercise those gifts in the body, people grow. How do I know that? Because he says, and he gave these gifts, these pastors and these teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for their edification. for your edification, for you to grow, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. What does that mean? Does that just mean just we know who Jesus is? No. It means that we know Him. We know Him. We know who He is. Not just know of Him, but know Him. We understand Christ. So many times God's people live their whole lives and they never get to know who Christ is. They never know Him. Spend their whole Christian life, and I believe they're saved. I really do. But they've never got to know who Christ is. They've never looked in the Scriptures and seen Him and tried to find Him everywhere. They've never known what's lovely about Him. They've never made their measuring stick Him. They've made it a man. Well, men will fail you. And stop looking at men. They are going to fail you. Amen? Look to Christ. Look to Him. Get to know Him. You know what? A pastor, I don't care how strong his personality is, how strong his faith is, how much charisma he has, he cannot sustain your spiritual walk. Amen. You need to get to know Christ and follow Him till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Perfect. When those gifts are exercised, Paul goes on to say that we henceforth be no more children. Children. Too many children in the faith. This goes along with Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Lot of babies. I'm going to tell you something in all honesty. I have heard doctors of theology. They don't know anything about who Christ is. Now, they may be a better Christian a lot of other ways than I am in my life, and I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to compare myself, but I'm just telling you right now that they don't know the Bible. I don't know what they got a doctorate for. They got one, but they don't know the Bible. They're babes. Do you understand that he's not talking to new Christians here? You understand he's talking to older ones. He's talking to those that have been saved for a long time that don't know the Scriptures at all. That's who he's speaking to. Part of the reason why is because the gifts have not been exercised in that body. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their... By reason of use. You see that? By reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They're exercised. Their senses have been exercised. They have studied the Word of God. They have heard the Word of God preached to them. They have exercised those things to discern both good and evil. And this goes right along with it. That we remember he said that we be not children tossed to and fro. He says here, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Oh, man. Just talking about the doctrine of Christ. Not even any further than that. Just the doctrine. Leaving the simplicity, the simple stuff. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. And he goes on to explain other things and that we become in the full stature. But he says here back in Ephesians, he says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, it's very interesting to me as I've been doing some research online and doing some other things here this week. And I'm sure, no doubt, I upset some people, I'm sure. I understand that. But truth is the truth. And fortunately, sometimes people choke on it. But when you look at this, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know that a pastor is sinning when he does not edify a bishop, a pastor, it does not edify the saints and build them up and teach them doctrine. Do you know he's sinning? You know what he's allowing to happen? You know what's coming to pass there with that? They're going to be tossed to and fro and carried about. I've asked people, well, okay, you've seen everything that I posted. Where am I biblically wrong? Nothing. They say nothing. Well, it's just not very nice. It's not nice to tell the truth. I thought it was nice to tell the truth. It's nice to cover up sin and be a liar. Please show me biblically where it's wrong. But my feelings. Yeah, but I understand your feelings, sir. I understand that, Skippy. I understand you're going to cry. I'll get you a tissue. All right? But the truth is the truth. I'm sorry, folks. When you see so much, do you understand that people are being damaged out there badly? And it's not from the truth. It's from error. It's not from some hard-nosed preacher like myself standing up and preaching it hard. That's not hurting people. The truth will never hurt somebody. Now, there is a time that they can accept the full truth, and there are times that not. But when you are exposing things, look what he's saying here. He said that you be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Some of you will believe a doctrine just because somebody said it to you. But have you studied it out for sure to see if it's true? Brother Russ and I are just talking about different things and studying things out. And there was something that Brother Russ didn't quite agree with me about. He goes, you know, I don't know about that one. I said, well, you go ahead and study it out. Here, I'll give you a bunch of resources. Look at it. See what you think. By the time he was done to say, like, you know, you're right. Like, no, the Bible's right, amen. But yeah, it was there. Why? Because he studied it out. I don't expect you to believe everything I say just for the sake because I say it. I don't even want that. I don't want that kind of sick, putrid loyalty. It makes me sick to my stomach. It makes me want to vomit right here. If you actually just believe something that I say just because I say it, I don't need any of that kind of loyalty. I'm not running a cult, okay? I'm a pastor of a local New Testament church. I don't want to do voodoo tricks on you. I don't need to do any mind tricks on you. I'll preach the inerrant word of God. You study it and you find out if it's true. And if it's wrong, let's sit down and talk about it. But don't believe something for the sake of somebody with some charisma that comes along and gives you something and you just automatically think it's right. Well, because there's results with it, so it must be good. I'm so sick and tired of people being results driven about everything. They accept everything that comes their way. Why? Because there's results with it. God never says that we depend on results for truth. We depend on the inerrant, perfect word of God for truth. It just amazes me that we've left the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus and we followed. Oh, what do we follow? Here, it's right here. It says we were carried away about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. See that? By the sleight of men. Now, why do you suppose, when I look at certain situations and I wonder, now, how in the world would a church put up with that? How in the world? I mean, I really think that my people would just pick me up and throw me out of there if I did something like that. Well, I figured out why. They don't know anything about the Bible. It dawned on me one day. I was like, oh, I know why. They don't know anything about the Bible, so they're not even equipped to understand these things. Do you understand? I'm trying to educate you so you understand what the Word of God says. You read it, you study it yourself, and you understand what a body is supposed to be. It's not a mindless drone where I'm just some dictator up there, and I tell you what to do all the time. That's not what a body is. It's not how it works. Not at all. It says, by the sleight of men. A local church, a body, is supposed to have these gifts exercised for the perfecting of the saints, for the purpose that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, that you're not carried away with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, by the trickery of men. You know, the sleight of hand, you know what that is, you know? You've seen those kind of tricks? Remember, Paul warned that grievous wolves would enter in and not sparing the flock. You know, I can respect a man that'll warn me more than I can a man that knows something's going to happen. He doesn't even tell me about it. You know, it's not gossip to warn somebody. It's not criticism to warn somebody. It's the shepherd's job. It's his calling. It's what God has told him to do. Amen? To warn. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness. Do you understand that the Bible is saying that there are men that are out there and with cunning craftiness they want to fool you? Do you understand that there are men that can fool you your whole life and you think they're somebody and they're not? Your children can do that if you don't have their heart. Your children can fool you like that. I know people. We've experienced it. We've seen somebody that everybody was fooled by their actions. Completely. In our own church, we've seen it. They just fooled everybody. Cunning craftiness. And whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Do you understand? There are men that will come into a church and they will lie in wait to deceive. They'll just wait and wait. They're there to deceive. That's what their purpose is. They're there to deceive. There are preachers out there that are the same way. They're there to deceive. And that's why you're not supposed to be carried away with every wind of doctrine, but you're to be grounded. And you cannot be grounded if you're not being equipped from the local church as well. As a body to grow, yes, you need to be studying on your own. Yes, you need to have a personal relationship with Christ. Yes, you need the power of God on your life to do this. You need all those things, and you need to be studying yourself, and you have a responsibility to. Shame on you if you haven't picked your Bible up since Sunday, and you've just ignored it, and you've not prayed to God since Sunday. Since you're in church and you just ignored it and you're depending on somebody else's faith to strengthen you. You can't be strengthened like that, and you're not too busy either. I don't want to hear any excuses. You're never too busy for God. The only reason why is you're carnal and you haven't picked up your Bible and you haven't read it because you don't think you need it. But then they lie in wait to deceive. I've seen people watch 10 hours of TV but won't pick up a Bible at all for 10 minutes. Why? Why? And they wonder why they haven't grown spiritually. And they wonder why they can't explain their faith to anybody. They cannot even help someone spiritually. They can't take the Word of God and help them. Any one of you ought to be able to take the Word of God and help somebody with it. Any one of you. If you're saved, if you have the Holy Ghost inside of you, you should be able to take that Word of God. You shouldn't need an extra book. You shouldn't need anything but the book. And you should be able to take the book and take them to Scripture and teach them from the Word of God what they need. Especially husbands. Husbands should be doing that. Husbands should be able to teach their wives the Word of God. They should be able to teach them things from Scripture. They should be able to teach their children the Word of God. They should be able to do that. The responsibility is yours to be spiritually strong. Part of being a leader is being a spiritual leader. Part of a leader is asking your wife, when's the last time you read your Bible? When's the last time you prayed? When's the last time you spent some time alone with the Lord? When's the last time you searched the Scriptures? A husband should be checking on his wife. That's your responsibility. You're supposed to be the head. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. May grow up to him in all things, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Every part works. Every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Why do you think you can be a member of a local church and not study your Bible, not pray, and be a member of a body? Do you really believe that our church will have the power of God on it if we're not doing what we're supposed to do? Amen. If we're not doing the work that God wants us to do, personal time alone with God and getting to know God and strengthening ourselves in the faith, how can we possibly have the power of God to do the things of God? How can we possibly grow? For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. And he goes on to explain the walk of the believer in the body. He's explaining here the purpose of the ministry gifts, the whole reason they've been given. They're not given to speak the things to speak in tongues and have no edification and nothing to happen. These ministry gifts are given to minister, to serve in the body, to be exercised in the body. That's what they're for. But see, when you change the nature of the assembly into something else, you can't feed people on Sunday morning. You know why? Because if you have 40 lost people come in that you've dragged there, they didn't really want to come that bad, but you dragged them there, and they're sitting there, you have to feed them a gospel message in order to keep things going. When we do have visitors come in here and I'm going to preach on something hard, I don't change that. I just keep preaching on what I'm going to preach because I'm preaching to those that are here, not those that might come. I remember just about a month and a half ago, I was preaching on marriage. Remember that? It was the sermon on marriage, on marrying without a license. And we had a guest fundamental Baptist preacher here. And I mean, he looked at me like I was nuts. I could just tell that he just was so shocked. Now, he didn't probably understand the issue and hadn't studied it out. But legally and biblically, I'll sit down with him and explain it all. Now, I did, but that sermon, you all understood it. I mean, it was pretty easy to understand. But not being a part of this body, didn't have a clue what was going on here. Do you understand that? Does that make sense to you? He didn't really understand anything about it. He didn't get where we were coming from, that we're not a corporation, that we're not agents of the state, that we don't do these things. He didn't even understand any of that. But that, guess what? That didn't bother me. Why? Well, because this is a local church. That's why. And this is this local body. Amen? And that's fine. He didn't have to understand it. He didn't have to agree with it. Amen? It's fine. You have to understand that when you start doing that, then the preacher has liberty to do what God's called him to do. Amen? And the evangelism is done like what we're doing Sunday out there, not Sunday morning. It's a tough concept for some people to understand, especially when you've been trained your whole life, that Sunday morning is about, that's the gospel, Sunday morning. Well, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bible. You have to study the purpose of the assembly. When you study the purpose of the assembly, which is part of it right here, you understand that it doesn't matter who else comes in. Paul even talks about a stranger that comes in among you. So understand that once you start to understand the way the body works, we're going to have a lot of messages on the body and understanding that. But when you see that for what it really is in Scripture, and you understand the nature of the body, the nature of the assembly, and what it's meant for, what the purpose of it is, why God has it structured like that, and what you and I are supposed to be doing, our responsibility is to go out. That's our responsibility. But we need to also know the Bible to understand that there are many people that go out knocking doors, but they don't really have a clue. All they know is 6 verses from Romans, but they don't understand anything. And they run somebody through a prayer, and that person doesn't know what they're doing either half the time. In fact, there have been follow-ups on a lot of those where hundreds of cards were brought to another church, and they followed up on many of these that have been done like that. And most of the people had no clue what was going on. They had no clue. They said, well, I mean, yeah, I said a prayer, but I mean, I don't have any interest in coming to church. You'll never get me to believe in a gospel that doesn't change someone. I won't believe that, and I won't preach it either. If you understand this, if you get this concept down, if you can grasp this, that what is the local assembly? What is it? It's the local church. It's the called out assembly. It's the believers. And if you understand Ephesians chapter 4, the ministry gifts to his body, the ministry gifts that he gives. Now understand, these are gifts from God. You and I can't manufacture that. You know, I have seen many people that have tried to manufacture these gifts. I've seen that. I've seen that done before. I'd be tickled if God calls my son to the ministry, but if he doesn't, I'll be just as pleased with him if he goes and gets a job and leads his home and has some children and is a godly member of a church. Amen? Come on. There has been a prevalent teaching, though, in our society, which really changes things, too, in our Baptist churches that has said everybody's got to go to Bible school for 1 year. You just go off and do that. as if God will call them at Bible school because he couldn't in that local church. Amen. Again, that's something that doesn't sit comfortable with people, but I understand that. I really do. But the truth is the truth. And we need God-called men. You know what else we need? We also need men that aren't called to preach, that start a business and work a job and get married and support the local church. Amen. It's sad because I've seen some, when this is not exercised and this is not followed, it changes everything in the assembly. It changes everything. It goes like this, and it just starts everything differently. It's commercialized. And I just want you to understand some of those things tonight. Try to grasp the truth there that's being brought forth to you. Once we do understand that, then there's the walk of the body, the walk of the believer in the body. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. You don't walk it like the world, in the vanity of the world. Have to do it the world's way. Having their understanding darkening, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Remember those gifts? Exercise in the body has taught some things as well. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The new man is created in righteousness and holiness. That's the new man that you have when you get saved. Wherefore, putting away all lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. He's speaking of the proper behavior of those in the body. He's explaining to them, we live in a day and age where a lot of people don't want to be a part of the body because of the accountability that's there. Now, I will say this, most churches today have not held people accountable for their actions. They have not. They have not held them accountable. They have allowed them to do a lot of things. And what I mean by allowing, I mean is they have linked them up to a harlot. They have had people that were living in fornication, adultery. They were liars, cheaters, stealers, thieves. And they just allowed them to continue in that assembly without any discipline. That's not the proper behavior. He said, you used to be like that, but you were saved. You shouldn't be like that anymore. You should live for God. It says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. You and I are not to give an open door to the devil to use us. Do you understand that goes beyond just thus saith the Lord, but it goes into biblical principles that if I know I'm weak in an area, I don't open the door for that weakness. Amen? I don't go around something that's going to weaken my faith. Amen? If I'm in a store and I'm tempted to look at a magazine, I don't go buy those magazines then. I just walk the other way. Make sense? I'm not even talking about pornography. Well, it is pornography, but it's not legally pornography. You know what I mean? If that's a weakness, then I don't even look at it. I just keep going. Why? Well, because I'm giving place to the devil then if I do. There's a behavior of those that are in the body that they ought to have a proper behavior. Yeah? We're not to give a place to the devil to get into our lives. If I know something's going to lead me to temptation, I don't go near it. That's giving place to the devil. Movies and television are a great way to do that too, by the way. If you want to give place to the devil, you just go ahead and watch a lot of movies and videos and everything else like that. Or just basically network television. I mean, network television is so bad now that they're pretty much having nudity on it now, from what I hear. I don't have it, but from what I hear. You're going to fall into sin if you're sitting there watching things like that are borderline like that. It's going to cause you to sin. It's going to lead you into sin. There's a proper behavior in the body. We may talk about this more extensively some other time, but there's a proper behavior for the body, a proper behavior that you should be following as children of God, that I and I should be following as children of God. We should follow this proper behavior. We don't give a place to the devil to get us. We stay away from it. Careful. He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good that he may have to give to them that needeth. Do you see the difference here? It's not so he could heap up riches to himself. He's in the body now. He's part of a body. He's part of a local church. He's part of the body of Christ. We have got to understand, and I'm going to preach on this, and you're going to hear some of this again, but we have got to understand that responsibility and that accountability that's in the body, that we are responsible one for another. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. You and I ought to have our finances in order that if somebody would need our help, that we could help them. Amen? I'm not talking about borrowing. I'm talking about giving. I have a feeling that you and I have never given until it hurts. We've never done that. There may come a time when God asks us to do that, though. when it's a giving outside of our comfort zone. Amen? I'm talking about all of us. I'm talking about one of us or two of us. I'm talking about all of us. That God may have us do that sometime. There may be somebody with a great need. We may have to help them with it. Would you be willing to do it? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Would I be willing to do it if God had called on me to? I didn't say me call you. I said if God has called you to do it, would you do it? Or would you say, well, I don't want to give that much. What if God wants you to give that much? Amen? What if He does? I didn't say what if I do. I said what if He does? Could you do it? That He may have to give to him that needeth. Talking about that responsibility in the body. Some of you have to understand that you don't just work for yourself, but you work for others. It's not just a heap for your own needs, but for the needs of others as well. Amen? There's others that might need your help. Would you help them? Now, if we don't work to that purpose, that's what the Bible talks about. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Why? Not so we can heap riches upon ourselves, but as Christians and in the body, so we could help each other if it's necessary. Amen? Sometimes we get an American mentality too about us that we start to judge people so harshly that we wouldn't help them with anything because they don't have their act together. You know, God can humble you. Be careful about that. Amen? God can use that to humble you. He goes on to say, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, corrupt communication is talking about filthiness. It's talking about wickedness. Yeah? That's what corrupt communication is. It's wickedness, perversion, perverted speaking. This is the proper language in the body, proper language in dealing with others and how you deal with others. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. By the way, the truth is good, so don't mix those words of corrupt communication. Think if you reprove and you rebuke somebody, that that's corrupt communication. That's what a lot of people will tell you, so they're not reproved or rebuked. Oh, that's gossip. No, it's not gossip to tell the truth. You just remember that. 2/3 of the gospel message is reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering of doctrine. So to say corrupt communication is to reprove somebody, rebuke them, no it's not. Corrupt communication is just that corrupted, wicked. Yeah? Wicked communication. It's perverted. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. You know, when somebody gives me sound doctrine and reproves false doctrine, that's good. It's edifying. Remember that. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. This is the communication of the believer in the body, how he's supposed to communicate. He's laying all this out, Ephesians chapter 4, that proper role in the body. We're almost done here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. He is talking to individual believers in the body. Do you understand that? He's saying that you and I have a responsibility in the body not to grieve the Holy Ghost of God. No man lives unto himself. Do you understand? What that means is if you are out there living wickedly and against God and living a poor testimony, that you are grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And it affects the body. Do you understand that? That's what he's saying. It affects the body. When you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, remember, he's going through the whole, and he's explaining all over Ephesians 4, he's explaining the body. He's explaining what takes on the ministry gifts, the purpose of the gifts, the walk that a man should have in Christ Jesus, all of it that affects the body. You think that you sin unto yourself and by yourself when you live wickedly and no one knows what you're doing, but you think you've hit it, but God knows what you're doing. And when you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, you think that those sins don't matter to the body? No, they do matter, and they do affect the body. They do affect people. They affect the church. Amen. But see, we want to be alone. We don't want to be accountable for anything. We want to be by ourselves. No, it just affects me. No, it doesn't just affect you. Look at Lot, what he did. Lot went into Sodom, but his wife didn't come out. And his daughters turned into perverts. Was Lot's sin just affected him? No, it affected everybody around him. His son-in-laws died and went to hell. Why? Because Lot had no testimony. He affected everyone around him. Our testimony affects others. Our sin affects others. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And see, most churches don't hold people accountable today. They don't do that. They don't practice that accountability. You want to know the lost Baptist distinctive? It's called church discipline. It's the lost one. It's the one that nobody practices anymore. Why? Well, it doesn't fit the corporate mold. That's why. It doesn't fit the money. People won't keep coming back. You know, God's people have got to be fearless in this world. I don't mean fearless to God. I mean, you ought to fear God, but you need to be fearless when it comes to standing up for what's right. I'm going to preach something to you Sunday morning in the education hour, and 99% of you are going to be mad at me when I do, probably. I'm just warning you right now that you probably are, because I'm going to preach on Santa Claus and Christmas trees. Like I told you, I didn't do it last year, and I stopped it because I felt like the Lord wanted me to stop it. But I'm going to tell you the truth about this. And you know that you may get very angry with me when I tell you the truth. And it may not sit well with you. But I have to answer to God. I don't have to really answer to you in that sense, unless it's an error that I'm preaching to you. Then I have to. Then God
will use you to judge me.
But I promise God that when I answered that call to preach, and He and I was ordained and I was sent here to do this, that I will preach the truth. And whether everyone is upset with it or not, I'm still going to preach the truth. And I would hope that you can respect that, because it's not fun to do. And I don't really want to do it, to be honest with you. I don't, because I know how much it upsets people when you do. When you do bring things like this up. But you know what I hear in my heart when that happens? I think about 45 imprisoned Baptist preachers that were beaten. And then I think about you looking at me mean, and I've had a lot of people look at me mean. And I don't think any of you are going to beat me up, but I'll be packing in case you are. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. It was so a joke. I'm just kidding. But listen, I have to bring you this truth. And I know this is what God wants me to do, because I've never backed off of the truth. I need to bring you the truth, and I need to share it with you. I'm just going to give you the history of it. Whatever you do in your family, believe me, I'm not going to come to your house and say, you've got a tree, kick the door, and let's go get them. I mean, I'm not doing that. That's none of my business. What you do in your home, that's your business. If that's what you believe is right, and you can reconcile that with God, then you do that. I'm not the high priest of your home. Understand that. I'm not. That's not what God's called me to do, to judge you like that. I'm not doing that. But I'm going to bring you the truth, which is what God has called me to do. Whatever you do with it, do with it. I'm not going to think any different of you. He goes on, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from among you with all malice. Notice what he's saying. He's speaking of the body. We're almost finished here. There's only two more verses left. I could have preached like 3 hours on this, so I'm being nice today. He says, let all bitterness, all wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put away the angerness and the bitterness. And notice, he tells you not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God and His Word, God the Father knows that you and I can harbor a bitterness in our heart towards others. And if you want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God, then you have bitterness in your heart towards somebody, or anger in your heart towards somebody, and you will grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, that grieving is a weeping of the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever done it before, you know when you've done it. Maybe some of you never have done that before, but I have felt the Spirit of God grieved between me and others at times. I remember about a couple months after I got saved, I was in Iowa. I had a very sharp contention with the pastor there, and the pastor that baptized me. I remember there was a grievance, and I could tell that there was a grieving in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was grieved between him and I, and we had to get it right. We had to deal with it, you know, and eventually we did deal with it, but it happens. Now, why is he explaining this all in Ephesians chapter 4? Because grieving the Holy Spirit affects the body. Amen? We are all members one of another. Amen? We're members of Him. And when that happens, we grieve. We grieve Him when we're not right. And he goes on to give this command, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, kindness one to another, tender-hearted, soft-hearted to the truth, to others, forgiving one another, having a spirit of forgiveness, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the exhortation that he gives in Ephesians chapter 4. He shows you the purpose of the ministry gifts that are given. He shows you the purpose of the gifts. He shows you the walk of the believer, the communication of the believer, and the working of the Spirit through there. All those things are important. It matters to a local church. It matters in the body. How you live your life matters. The answer is not to say, well, I'm going to live my own way, so I'm just going to leave, and I'm not going to be a part of the body because I don't want to hold anybody accountable. No, that's not the answer. The answer is to repent, get things right with God, and live for Jesus Christ. Oh, here's another one for you. Stop living for yourself, for what you want, what makes you happy, and start understanding that you need to live for God and the Spirit to help others as well. First to God, then to others. That's the purpose of the body there. That's the purpose of the gifts. And that's the behavior that's supposed to be in the body. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord. I pray that you'd help us understand this truth. Lord, we need it. I fear we've grieved you in many ways, from not obeying you and not following you and thinking that we're like an island unto ourselves and we can do what we want. Help us understand, Lord, our sin affects the body. Our spiritual negligence affects the body. Our lukewarmness affects the body. Our sin, our lack of sanctification affects the body. Help us, Father. Please use us, forgive us, and strengthen us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.